It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 10th. I'm Ben Johnson. Tomorrow, a legal advisor to the European Court of Justice, that would be the EU's version of the Supreme Court, will give his views on whether Uber is a transportation company or a digital service. It's part of a larger decision the ECJ will make in July, and it's important because if Uber gets defined as a transportation service, it could mean much stricter rules on how it operates in Europe. Think licensing, insurance, and safety regulations. Here to talk a little bit about how Uber gets defined as a company is Mike Isaac, tech reporter for the New York Times. Mike, thanks for chatting. How does Uber position itself depending on what entity it's dealing with?
So from the very beginning, they've called themselves, you know, a platform, a tech company. We are essentially an intermediary to connect people to cars, but we're not a, you know, a car service or transportation service. That has kind of flown in the United States, and they've actually created a new regulatory category here in at least some states. And so Uber calls itself a transportation network company, sort of like, say, Airbnb for houses is what Uber is to cars.
Do you think that we're maybe entering an era where government is going to be more aggressive?
Well, you know, it's interesting that right now, you know, everyone's sort of waiting for driverless cars. And so if you look at cities like Portland, they're actually preemptively trying to set up a framework for how to govern driverless cars in their city. So I think now, rather than have to sort of go back and repeat the headaches of the past 5 years, that regulators are smart enough to say, what do we imagine is going to come based on the cues from the technology industry? And they're sort of bracing for driverless, and that seems to be what's next.
What do you think Uber's biggest blind spot and next big hurdle is?
So if you recall last year, they had to give up on this big push into China.
China, yeah.
Mm-hmm, which has been the white whale of basically every tech company there is. So now they're moving into India. And how are they going to move in there without losing billions of dollars? Because you can only raise so much venture capital before you start tapping out literally all the major institutions that have been pouring money into Uber so far.
Mike Isaac, he writes about Uber and many other tech things for the New York Times. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And while we're talking about companies swallowing up the globe with their services while they do a bunch of different things, Amazon has launched yet another internet-connected device for the home. The Echo Show has a screen and lets you do hands-free video calling and play music. Let me just say, it looks awesome and useful, and everybody's got to make their own choices about what kind of data from their home or otherwise they want stored on massive tech company servers. But please, for the love of all literary references to 1984, think carefully before you plug one of these things in. I have a Google Home. It's still in the box. I'm still thinking. We've been talking on our show in recent weeks about cities that are trying to become tech hubs outside of Silicon Valley. Well, one that is pretty close to the valley is Salt Lake City, Utah. There's a startup there called Kylife Tech, which makes wearable devices that help you keep track of your kids with location software. A few months back, the startup CEO, Spencer Berend, was at a demo day for the organization 500 Startups to pitch Kylife to investors.
So this is the culmination of 4 months of hard work. Today is demo day. Today's the day where we pitch to hundreds of investors to try and close what we hope will be a second chunk of our seed round.
Please welcome to the stage, Kylife!
When your child is lost, every moment feels like an eternity.
We'll spare you the rest of the pitch, but one thing to note is that the demo day was in San Francisco, and despite basing his company in Salt Lake City, CEO Spencer Berend goes back and forth a lot. We wanted to know more about why, so we called him up. Spencer, thanks for chatting.
Good to be here with you, Ben.
This is an interesting idea that it's really key for you to have a presence in Silicon Valley, even though you've based your company elsewhere. Why do you think it's important to spend that time in Silicon Valley?
Silicon Valley has a depth of experience that goes back 30, 40 years, much broader than what we're seeing in Salt Lake City. We're still very young here. Everyone you meet and everyone you talk to has something of great value to offer and is willing to offer it.
That's interesting. So it's like access to experience and wisdom and mentorship?
On a daily, hourly basis. I mean, just everyone you meet and everyone you talk to has something of great value to offer and is willing to offer it.
So if that's so important, what are you doing in Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake is a very exciting place to be right now. There are a ton of tech startups. There's a lot of investment coming into the area. It's a little like being a big fish in a medium-sized pond.
Uh-huh.
The government is very active in promoting startups, and we're very well supported.
So you're really trying to get the best of both worlds here, but it sounds like you don't think you can do it just in Utah.
Well, you know, I think that we could. There are certainly an abundance of resources here, and we feel very well connected to this area. But Utah moves at a slower pace than San Francisco, which is not a bad thing. We have a very different culture here that's very family-friendly. We attract an enormous amount of talent that's interested in that particularly, and that's why they moved to Salt Lake City. And there's room for both, I think, in our company to have that acceleration and also be focused on slightly different lifestyle than you would find as a father of six kids out in San Francisco.
Spencer, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Ben.
That segment produced with the help of Catherine Girardeau. Lots more on our Tech Hubs reporting at marketplacetech.org. Check it out. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.